You know, this is the most important meeting, in my opinion, of the year, because of not necessarily the subject, but because of the scope, how big it is. And what I mean by that is that when we talk about considering the world, there are all kind of flags that are hanging around here inside the auditorium. And, you know, all the things that Brother DeLane was talking about, the number of tracts that they give out, the number that they preach, the number of languages that they're in, that's a very large scope. That's really big. And this local church is considering what its part is in that large of a work. If you go look at Acts chapter 1, and I've just got a couple things we're going to hit real quick. Acts chapter 1, why are you turning there? Or, excuse me, let's go to Luke 24 instead. I think that'll be better. Everybody goes to Acts chapter 1. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, the Bible says there in verse number 46, just to kind of give you an idea. I think that one of the purposes of the church is to reach the world with the gospel. And I don't think that that's something that a Baptist group of people decided. I think that's something that God gave at the end of every gospel, including Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. That's the gospel. How many of you have trusted the gospel of Jesus Christ? Verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among, what's the next two words in your Bible? All nations. All nations. Look, beginning at Jerusalem. So the start was local. The scope was the entire world. We want you to start locally, Jerusalem, but we want you to expand that to all nations. And I want you to look at it again. That it might be that the repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. All nations. Now, I don't believe that was just given to the disciples. I believe that was given to you and I. And the reason I believe that, now go over to Colossians. We're just going to make a couple of quick stops and I'll throw a little tag on top of it. Go to Colossians chapter 1. I believe that task was accomplished. I believe what they were told to do as a church, a body of believers, like you, I believe they accomplished that. Look in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. How many of you have a hope in heaven? Yeah. Yeah. Whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Next verse. Which is come unto you as it is in, can you say the next three words for me? All the world. The entire world. We said, do you really believe it was the entire world? Sure. Go and look, if you would, at verse number 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So the gospel was preached to every creature. Their generation got the job done. Now the world was smaller, but there were also fewer believers. There were fewer churches. I would say there are probably more evangelical churches, Baptist churches in Corpus Christi than may have existed in the world at that time. There are a lot of people that now we have churches everywhere. And what I want you to see is that the gospel was preached. Now look at it one more time. Go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, if you believe that this occurs after the rapture of the church and that this is a picture in heaven, I want you to look at Revelation chapter 5. So God tells the church, Jesus tells the church, I want every nation, every creature, beginning at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the world. All right. Revelation chapter 5. Look what the Bible says, verse number 9. So in heaven, they're having a good time. I expect to have a good time in heaven. I do not expect to sit by some creek side and dabble my feet in the stream and play a harp for the rest of eternity. That is not my expectation. I expect it to be more than I could ever think of or ask for. And the Bible says in verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. How many of you have been redeemed to God by the blood of Christ? All right, we're singing a new song there. Watch. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. In other words, every nation has someone reached. Every people has someone reached. Every tongue, all the many different languages of the earth, every tongue has been reached. And look at it again, just in case you think, well, that was just a, you know, what does that mean? Look at chapter 7, look at verse number 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. So here's what I want you to see. What I started off with was this, basically, that Jesus said, I want repentance and the gospel preached to every nation, every nation. And then we see in Colossians that the church that had been given that responsibility accomplished that every creature had the gospel preached to them. And then we see in the future in heaven that God has somebody from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every kindred, every people. And the reason I believe that is because I believe this. I don't believe God wants anybody to go to hell. And I do not believe that election has anything to do with pre-selecting someone for heaven and pre-selecting someone for hell. God said he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So then our generation has a big problem. You think we got a big problem as far as inflation and war and, you know, all kinds of ideologies change. We got a big problem, and here's why. Because our world is so much different than their world. 8.3 billion people in this world. I don't know how you can wrap your mind around 8.3 billion people. In India, there is almost 1.5 billion people in one country. In China, 1.4 billion. And as I'm throwing these numbers out, people are looking at me like, wow, what? There are 348 million people in the United States of America. Now, if you begin looking, can I come down? Just make sure. If you begin looking at the religions of the world, Islam has about 2 billion followers. It is the fastest growing religion on the planet. 2 billion, almost a quarter of the world's population. Roman Catholicism says they have about 1.4 billion people. You have about 1.2 billion Hindus, primarily from the country of India. You have about 500 million Buddhists. When you add all that up, that is a huge number. Over 5 billion people claim a religion that has nothing to do with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? That means 5 out of every 8 people on the planet claim a religion that is not tied to the gospel. In the United States of America, they say we have about 25% of evangelicals, which is so broad and so wide, and I wouldn't even try to get into that, but there's about 87 million of them. 87 million. So how do you reach the world? How do you go from this small church in Corpus Christi, which I would say is a large church by many respects of the word when you come to Independent Baptist, how do you reach the world from this location? 8.3 billion people. Well, if you don't care about those 8.3 billion people, then you have no problem. You don't care if people go to hell, you have no problem. You can enjoy the beautiful church you have, the climate you have. By the way, how many of you are glad it's like 74 degrees outside? You ought to get in the car, or get in the plane, ride with it back to South Carolina when the other day it was 20 degrees. I'm talking about just a week ago. You can enjoy your climate. You can enjoy these good people. How many of y'all like your church members? Well, there's some people who didn't raise their hand practically. Not committing to that one. You can enjoy your time here. And how many of you know you're going to heaven when you die? So your ticket's punched. You're going to heaven. Doesn't matter what happens in Iran. You got a great church. You're in a great climate. You have all kind of things you could say, my life is good. But unless you catch a burden for the 8.3 billion, then your problems stay relatively local right here and small. So let me tell you how that works. 87 million, if let's just say, just for argument's sake, 87 million people are evangelical. In other words, they believe that the gospel should be given to other people. That means that to reach the world, every one of those 87 million evangelicals in this country would have to reach 100 people. Now, all those big numbers that I threw out to you, that all of a sudden gets fairly small. You're talking about 100 people in a year if we could reach 100 people. Now listen, you and I, we don't win anybody to Christ. God does the winning, but we offer the truth that wins them. 100. That's 2 a week. And what we do is we can reach the world we live in by reaching 2 people every week of our life. How many of you think 2 a week is a whole lot more doable than 8.3 billion when you think about that? 2 a week. Or we can turn around, and if you're a missionary in here, as far as going to the field, left your home, you've gone to another place, would you stand just a real quick second, you missionary? Or we invest our resources in somebody that's going to reach more than 200 a week but has dedicated their life to leave this country and go to the regions beyond so they can multiply that number. I used to hear it stated this way, you've either got to go or send a substitute. I don't like that phraseology. I am not sending a substitute. What I believe is I should go, period. I ought to go locally. Can I get an amen on that, Pastor? I ought to go to Corpus Christi, but then what I ought to do is I ought to invest in people that have dedicated their life to go and give the gospel to the world. So you can, thank you, you can have a part in affecting 8.3 billion people receiving the gospel. You can do it locally here. You can send somebody to go and do it abroad. I remember when I was in China, and we were going through those cities. I was telling one of the missionaries earlier today, as we were going through those cities, I was overwhelmed. I'm from Decatur, Alabama. Anybody know where Decatur, Alabama is? Oh, wow. Did y'all go to Whitt's Barbecue while y'all were there? You missed out. Not as good as what we had last night, but we got this white sauce. It's made with vinegar and mayonnaise, and it's good stuff. Decatur, Alabama has a population of about 31,000 people. And then as I got in the ministry, I ended up traveled with my dad when I was younger, my brother and I, my mother. And I found out the world was a lot bigger than Decatur. I remember going to New York City. And I remember the guy that was with us, his name was Vince Aquila, worked with my dad at IBM. And he said, Joel, he said, make sure you don't walk around like this. I said, why is that? He said, because everybody's going to know you're a tourist when you're walking around like this. Never seen anything like that in Decatur, Alabama. Well, when I went to China on a missions trip to go and meet underground churches of people that have accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I would hear their stories, and I would hear about how all of their pastors had been imprisoned. Now, they would get out, but they would put them back in. And we would go through cities of 10, 15, 18 million people. And I remember riding one night, and I got so bothered because I'd been asking the question, how many in this city? And in my mind, I'm thinking, how do you reach 18 million people that have a language like Mandarin Chinese and a closed government like China has? How do we do it? And it's like God just said, Joel, you do it the way you're supposed to do it back at home. One person at a time. So we're in the Republic of Georgia. I'd just been married. My brother's on this expedition of his missions trip with his church, and I joined it, and we get over there, and we go into these places like Brother Lang talked about. We rented out libraries. We rented out schools, and we rented out this building, and we were going to give the gospel there. And we got there, and there's this guy outside, and he's got all these watermelons. I mean, he has got, watermelons stacked on watermelons. And we came up, and we start telling him a little bit about the gospel, and he gets upset. He's mad because you guys are moving in on my business. This is my spot, and the people are coming here to buy watermelons, but people started going in to hear the gospel. We've got Bibles we're giving away, and people are just going in, and he's upset. I mean, visibly upset. You know, and if somebody cusses you in another language, it really doesn't bother you because you have no idea what they're saying anyway, right? But he was angry. And unbeknownst to us, during that meeting, he must have slipped in and he heard the gospel. Listen to me. And when we came out, he had one of those Bibles that we came to give away. And we walk out and he looks at us, and I've got pictures of it still sit in my mind. He takes that Bible and he kisses it and he holds it to his heart and he starts giving us his watermelon. I don't know how many people were saved at that meeting, a lot, but I remember one. And what we have to understand is there is a huge task that we've been given, this generation, but we have planes and we have cars and we have printing presses. And we have so many churches and people that know other languages. We even have abilities on our phone to translate language in real time. There's so much that we have they didn't have. 8.3 billion people. And you're considering this week, what's my part? Because I do believe that it's the church's responsibility. And it's also the church's joy when we see somebody accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'd encourage you to be here every night. My brother is a better preacher than I am. He's a meaner preacher than I am. You can tell him I said that. But he's a better preacher than I am. I know of nobody in the country that I would say would help you be able to see your responsibility. Now, again, if you don't care about the souls in other countries, if it doesn't bother you, then you don't have a problem. Probably won't be back this week. But if you believe what you read, repentance and remission of sin preached unto every nation, and that every kindred, every tribe, every tongue, every people is going to be assembled at that throne, somebody did their job. So why not Bible Believers Baptist of Corpus Christi, Texas? Amen.